10 years ago saw the dawn of democracy in South Africa, but elsewhere on that continent there was genocide. In Rwanda 10 years ago, members of the Hutu group massacred some 800,000 Rwandans, mostly from the Tutsi group. The Hutu said they had a historical claim to land and power in the country. The Tutsis had been favored by the old Belgian colonialists. They said the right to rule was theirs. 10 years later, the argument continues. Now, in Rwanda's capital, Kigali, a new memorial is trying to sort things out. Dina Temple Raston looked at the memorial and has this report.
A swarm of Rwandans fanned out over the grounds of the Kigali Memorial Center in the hills above the capital, rushing to plant grass, set brick, and shovel gravel around an enormous pale yellow stucco building meant to serve as the nation's memorial to the 1994 genocide. It doesn't look much like a memorial, though. Instead, it looks like a Southern California mansion that has inexplicably landed in the heart of Africa. In fact, very little about the Kigali Memorial Center seems African. That may be because virtually the entire enterprise, from plasma television screens to multimedia presentations, were imported from Britain. The Kigali government hired the British charity Aegis Trust to build a memorial to pay tribute to the hundreds of thousands of Rwandans who died during the genocide. James Smith is one of the founders of Aegis Trust.
It's going to look at how right back in colonial times, 50, 60 years ago, even longer, how there was increasing division in society because of the sort of institutionalization of racism. You can see on this certificate here how the three ethnic groups were always recorded, Tutsi, Hutu, and Twa. This was recorded on everything with its identity cards, and at the time it was just part of the racial ideas that the colonialists imported into Rwanda, but it became, as you can see, quite institutionalized, and ultimately this recording became a passport of whether someone's going to live or die by 1994.
In 1994, extremist Hutu militia, known as the Interahamwe, used the nation's identity cards to distinguish Tutsi from Hutu. Anyone holding a Tutsi card was summarily killed. The international community stayed on the sidelines when the massacres began and, partly to make amends, have come up with the money to pay for the Kigali Memorial. The William Jefferson Clinton Foundation, Sweden, and Belgium have pledged $1.5 million to fund the center. Smith winds down the halls of the exhibit to a basement room with graphic displays of the killing. There are bodies floating in Lake Kivu, photographs of corpses piled in the streets.
There's going to be a screen here, a plasma screen, just showing film footage of what was happening here in 1994. It'll be silent, but showing people being killed and the bodies floating down the rivers and things. It is graphic. We've struggled a lot with whether this should be included or not. But you know, we can't sanitize what happened, and it was a brutal, brutal genocide, and it needs to be conveyed.
Rwandans like Beatrice, a young woman survivor of the violence, provide harrowing stories from the genocide. They don't need a memorial to remind them. Beatrice's family was murdered inside her local church. She was raped, in her words, by more men than she could count. And today she's rearing a child from the rape, is infected with AIDS, and is still struggling to get the Kigali government to provide the antiviral drug she needs to keep the disease at bay. Even 10 years later, for Beatrice, April is the cruelest month.
This time of year, I have nightmares. I have a desperate life now. I have a child from the rape, no husband, and any day now I feel I will die from AIDS. I feel very alone.
To mark the 10th anniversary of the genocide, President Paul Kagame presided over an event in which 20 coffins were lowered into a mass grave that stretched for 100 yards in front of the new memorial. He placed a wreath on the 20th before it slipped underground. A black banner was draped above the graves, and it read, "Plus jamais," never again. For NPR News, I'm Dina Temple Raston.